welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
It is really hard to take care of patients who have delirium. And you've picked a poem that helps us understand a little bit about this in a small subgroup of patients, but I think it's got pretty important implications. Just by way of background, delirium is an acute confusional state, usually associated with some level of altered consciousness, ability to focus, sustain, shift attention. It develops usually over a short period of time, usually hours and days. This isn't something that evolves over months or years, and it tends to fluctuate. Patients who are delirious over the course of a day have valleys and hills. It's often caused by a medical condition, often caused by something we do to a patient, either by keeping them up or giving them medications. Management is hard to define. Good outcome information. That's because the data we have usually just comes from consensus, anecdote, or observational studies. There are only a very small number of control studies, and perhaps that's because this is a really hard group to study. You don't know who's going to get it, and they're not able to engage in the usual consent processes. We try very hard to prevent patients from getting delirious. We have them avoid things that we know cause delirium. We treat their underlying illnesses aggressively. We provide supportive and restorative care, and we help them to avoid dangerous or disruptive behaviors that might lead to danger. The management is serious. This is not a small issue. Patients who are delirious have huge risks. They can fall out of bed. They can wander off. They can pull tubes, IV tubes, G-tubes, et cetera, out of their bodies. We try very hard to use non-pharmacologic therapy, but there are just times when the risks of a patient doing something to harm themselves are greater than the risks from a medication. The traditional medication is haloperidol, and you found a poem in JAMA. It was published in 2017. It starts on page 1047, and it looks at a subgroup of patients, particularly those at the very end of life, who often get delirious. This is difficult, presumably, for the patient, but it's most definitely difficult for staff and difficult for families to watch. The poem that you've picked answers the clinical question, does adding lorazepam to haloperidol improve symptoms of agitation in advanced cancer patients who are at the very end of their life and have delirium? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this was a study done in an acute palliative care unit. And as you said, they had advanced cancer, a diagnosis of delirium with agitation, and the average survival was only 3 days, about a median of 73 hours. So these patients were all obviously near the end of life. They used a scale that runs from -5 when someone is unarousable to +4, which means they're combative. And everyone got Haldol 2 milligrams IV every 4 hours. And if their score was 2 or higher, meaning they were getting combative, then they were given a rescue dose of 2 milligrams of Haldol. And they were randomized to get either lorazepam 3 milligrams IV or a placebo injection. So the patients and the caregivers were masked to the treatment. Everyone also got standard care for delirium, non-pharmacologic measures, symptom management, those kind of things. And the two groups were similar at the baseline. The average age was 65 years. And there were 90 patients initially randomized. Ultimately, 29 in each group got the study medication, meaning that they got agitated enough to require rescue medicine and either lorazepam or placebo. The main outcome was the score 8 hours after the study med was given. And what they found was the lorazepam was actually quite effective. The reduction in the score, remember it's a 10-point scale, was 4 points with the lorazepam and just over 2 with placebo. So that would be a clinically meaningful difference in this score. Patients in the lorazepam group needed lower doses of rescue drugs, were more likely to be perceived by the nurses and the caregivers as being comfortable, and there was no significant difference in adverse effects or overall survival. So the bottom line is a single dose of lorazepam in combination with Haldol decreases agitation for these patients near the end of life. I think one question is, do we need the Haldol at all? Would lorazepam suffice? And either as a baseline medicine or as a rescue medicine, maybe we can use the Haldol as the baseline drug every 4 hours, and then just give the lorazepam on a PRN basis and forget the extra Haldol. We don't know the answer to that, but it certainly would be an important thing to determine. This is, as you said, an incredibly stressful time for caregivers, for family, watching their loved ones suffer at a time, near the end of life. And it's upsetting. It's difficult for the patient, obviously, but it's, difficult for everyone involved in their care. So I think these kind of studies are really important to give us an evidence base to figure out how to best manage those patients. And, quite frankly, a lot of times families are kind of on their own. If they have home hospice, there may not be a nurse on site. They may, the patient will be distressed and the family doesn't know what to do. So hopefully this can start to inform some of those protocols as well.
Mark, do we know enough about lorazepam to know that in and of itself it couldn't be used? So get rid of the Haldol and just use the lorazepam?
Yeah, we don't know that. And I think that would be clearly the next study to do. These investigators have looked previously at Haldol alone. They found worse outcomes with Haldol alone. And that makes me think that it quite likely may be that lorazepam alone would be preferable to either Haldol alone or Haldol plus lorazepam. But they haven't done that study yet. So that's kind of speculative, but certainly I think you're right. We need that information.
I mean, I know that with the benzos that the pharmacologists say that patients develop tolerance over a small number of weeks, but that wouldn't be relevant to this group of patients where the life expectancy is so short anyways.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, Mark, thanks. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.